Blog Talk Radio.
The other action. We will be discussing if you get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, opinions as well. We'll be getting to that in a minute. But we with a surprise of our own. And the Street Profits, I don't know what to do with them. Keep them back day. They're everywhere. If they are the NXT Tag Team Champions, they should have better things to do than open and sit around backstage and basically give you a rundown on it. It's really to these guys going any credibility they have whatsoever if they stop. But anyway, Sami Zayn comes along and he basically tells them off. And they say, well, you know, we understand you're going to space has a way of being you or where you are. Not everybody. Joe. And he says, oh, Samoa Joe, please. Samoa Joe came in like King Kong. Kicking everybody's butt, and now what? Can't beat anybody, and he's running around saying, oh, somebody hurt Roman Reigns. What he didn't know is Samoa Joe behind him, and what we thought, of course, is, well, okay, it was a very, very short match. Sami Zayn has no in the none. For Sami Zayn, and all you can do is pull your head, because he's not going anywhere. I don't think he's going anywhere in 2 months. I don't think he's going anywhere in a year. They make a decision on, and that is his talent, and that's it. So, a very good man. So, I said, something very interesting. Again, I may forgive Roman Reigns for pointing his finger at me, but I do not forgive any of you people. That's something that I would do. So none of you people are forgiven. Ever. What goes to the fifth turn? So now I'm thinking to myself, maybe they are going to do something with Samoa Joe having orchestrated a master whole thing. I think it's because the heel is zero. He's lost to every single face in the company. Or maybe they're just going to stretch this. Eventually, he's going to turn face. But whatever's happening, I thought it was a little bit surprised. I just thought using Sami Zayn in this situation, Mike, was probably guaranteeing we were seeing the face turn.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And I still believe that the face turn is coming. But, I mean, why would you have him say, That little thing that he said, that I'm not gonna forgive any of you under any circumstance ever. That word ever is the big word there. That means eventually he is gonna forgive the fans.
I'm too. Now, again, I'm a dumb heel. And back out, breaks the heel. You're easy. There's no.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
All righty. Well, let's see if we have the phone lines there again. Mike, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. We're having trouble, as usual, with Blog Talk, but we're talking, of course, about The Miz and Dolph Ziggler. And I said, you know, Corey Graves once again tips his hand and says there's no way Dolph Ziggler will ever, ever, ever submit. And we know right then and there he's going to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got to do something with Dolph Ziggler. I mean, look, the, you know, what's his name? Anybody else? Booker T wasn't this bad with this, you know? I mean, yeah, he was laughing at his own jokes and all that crap, but he was not as bad as giving away things like Corey Graves is.
Corey Graves is terrible. I mean, it's getting to the point now where I want to watch with the sound down because I know what he's going to do. He's going to say, oh, here comes Ricochet. There's no way in God's green earth Ricochet will ever beat this man. And you say, okay, well, then Ricochet's winning. Oh, there's no way Dolph Ziggler will ever, ever, ever tap out. Okay, then he's tapping out. Why does he insist on doing this? Why does he insist on doing that? Does he honestly think that wrestling fans are so stupid with sitting there saying, oh, I hope this guy proves Corey Graves wrong? No, we're not that stupid, Graves. We know that when you're saying that it means exactly the opposite. Stop it already. Just stop it. Just call the damn match. The job's not hard. Call the match. So anyway, obviously, The Miz wins by submission. That's two submissions in a row. The WWE. But let's go back for a minute to the Street Profits, Todd. I mean, they're always hanging around backstage. They're not having a match. They're not doing anything. I think this is a real waste. And these guys are the tag team champions. It seems to me that it's really belittling them in some way.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. I remember when Crime Time first came up to the main roster. They didn't do the same thing to Crime Time when they first came up on the main roster. They didn't do matches and everything. And anyway, I think they were more entertaining than the Street Profits, technically. I think they were better as entertaining tag team.
The problem is they'd be a great tag team if they would just use them, but to just sit around backstage like they're fans when they're the NXT tag team champions, it's not good. It's just not good. Anyway, we're told we're going to get one final match, Cedric Alexander versus Drew McIntyre, and I'm not going to lie to you. When I heard it, I'm like, oh, God, here we go again. Why are we wasting Drew McIntyre's time with Cedric Alexander? Can we move Drew McIntyre on, please? But I was pleasantly surprised because this was the match of the night, easily. And when you have AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins, and that's not the match of the night, then you know this was a really good match. Drew McIntyre works very well with Cedric Alexander. And there were times in that match that I truthfully said to myself, Jesus, they're going to let Cedric Alexander go over here. They worked a very good match. And the impressive thing, Cedric Alexander's always been impressive, and we've said that since the day we saw him. And by the way, we were the ones who called for him to be on the main roster, not 205 Live. However, I'm actually more impressed with Drew McIntyre because here's Drew McIntyre keeping up a pretty damn good pace. with Cedric Alexander, and McIntyre's not sucking wind. McIntyre's not a ball of sweat. I'm watching McIntyre, and I'm saying, this is a guy who's like 6'5", 260-some-odd pounds, and he's keeping up with a guy like Cedric Alexander and doing a pretty damn long match. McIntyre's the real deal, I'm telling you. You could get a lot of mileage out of Drew McIntyre. You just got to handle it right. I don't care whether you want him face or heel. Doesn't matter. But whatever you're going to do with him, do it. Let's get it done. He's been here too long languishing and really getting nothing accomplished. Being Shane's, you know, right-hand man has gotten him nothing. Let's get away from that and do something with Drew McIntyre and Cedric Alexander, too, because I'll tell you, Cedric Alexander is a very, very exciting athlete. Cedric Alexander is a little bit like a larger version of Ricochet. I mean, you watch what Ricochet does and you say, Jesus, that's really impressive, but he's such a little guy. Cedric Alexander's not that little. I mean, he's up there with Drew McIntyre, who's a pretty big dude. And it's still believable because he's not that small. So Alexander can do a lot of the same things Ricochet can do at probably 50 pounds heavier, 45, 50 pounds heavier, if not more, maybe more, and certainly taller. And I'm saying to myself, you know, you could do something with him. If you don't totally ruin Cedric Alexander and make him just another guy who tries hard and loses, you got a chance. It's not going to happen against Drew McIntyre. He's going to have to move on and find some other opponents that he's more equal to. But I was impressed with both of these guys, Mike. They did a really good job.
I liked them as well. We've all said that with Drew McIntyre, what Cedric Alexander needed to do was put on that weight that he took off to be in there. Now, they do list him at 205 pounds, but he looks bigger, you know?
Right. Yeah, he's got a good physique. He does look a little bit bigger. And remember, the big rub on him was he had to lose 25 pounds to be in the division. So he could easily put back on 5 or 10 pounds, and he'd be AJ Styles' size at that point. And, I mean, he actually looks a little bigger than Styles now. He looks as big as Rollins now. I mean, if you had Cedric Alexander come out and you said he weighs 220 pounds, people wouldn't think that was a lie. People would say, that's probably about right. So that's really not a factor. We'll see what they do with them going forward in this. But I got to tell you that I was impressed with both of these guys. I thought they put on a really good match. Probably just as good a match as any match that was in SummerSlam. So then we get Elias. And he's going to hold his little concert, but first he says, look, I'm interrupted every single time. I'm tired of being interrupted every single time, so let's get this over with. If somebody's going to interrupt, let's go. Nobody does two or three times, so he starts to play his guitar, and sure enough, Ricochet's music comes out, and Ricochet basically says, look, people don't interrupt you just to be annoying. They interrupt you because you suck. That gets Elias pissed off. Elias says, all right, we're going to have a match. We'll have a match right now. Get a referee down here. This is a build back of Ricochet. Elias probably isn't going anywhere. They see Elias as a enhancement tool too. You know, go out there and do your guitar bit. Make fun of the local sports teams. Be a henchman for Shane. And, you don't need your own career. You don't need to be pushed. That's kind of what they feel, I think, at this stage about Elias. I think they're wrong. I think you could really run with Elias a little bit. The knock on Elias, and I'm a big Elias fan, but the knock on Elias is he doesn't put on great, great matches. When they did briefly flip him face, it wasn't that impressive. So I think they think this is his worth. Aggravating the crowd, getting the crowd stirred up, letting a face get over on them, and that's good enough. Maybe it is, we'll see. But Ricochet, once again, gets back on the winning track, so I suppose that's a good thing, Todd. I can't help but remember when the fans were all chanting, walk with Elias, and and they were, Elias had put an album out, remember, and all that, and it looked like they were really going to run hard with Elias. And now when I watch him, I just keep thinking to myself, geez, there's a lot of opportunity lost there.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I feel bad for Elias because they're making him look bad as a jabron, being turned him into a jabron, not winning matches. Really, it's just I feel bad for him because they keep burying him to the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel bad for him too, but at least they're using him, Mike. But the thing is, I do think there was wasted potential there.
There is wasted potential, and they're misusing him. I mean, look, they could have had something huge with Elias, and we've said that. When he had them eating out of the palm of his hand, I mean, there was a time when he couldn't really insult the crowd. They thought it was cool to get insulted by him because, right. I mean, they you look at the crowd and they'd be laughing it up. Oh, this town sucks. Oh, and they'd be laughing at that, you know?
Or they'd chant, "We suck." Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he couldn't do anything to get them to hate him. They didn't want to, you know, and they cut that off at the knees, and look where he is now, you know.
Yeah, it is wasted potential, no question. So we get Robert Roode. My gosh, they dusted off the mothballs and got Robert Roode out. Fighting No Way Jose, and I'm saying, oh my God, finally we're going to get a victory by Robert Roode. It took having to go to Canada to do it, I guess. But he, you know, listen, was it a good match? No, it's just, you know, it was what it was. It was just a way of reintroducing Roode, I suppose. You know, No Way Jose, the same thing. He's just a guy who's enhancement talent now, and that's probably okay. I don't see a ton of potential in No Way Jose. He's likable, but he's not a guy you're going to believe is going to win a lot. So I guess the reemergence of Robert Roode, the only thing I can hope for, Todd, is that we see him on a regular basis now and we get a guy, we deserve to see.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, for a while the WWE was pushing him, then they feed him to the wolves for a while. Now they're bringing him, hopefully now they're bringing him back up. Maybe he'll get like a mid-card title shot for like a U.S. title or Intercontinental title sometime down the road.
I mean, that's what you can hope for right now, because that's certainly Robert Roode is somebody who can be used, Mike.
Oh, certainly he can. I mean, he's not going to be used to the point of where he was in TNA, you know, in Impact,
no.
Where he was in the lower main event status most of the time he was there, even when he was a tag team champ, even when he was in tag teams there. And, you know, if they can get him a Intercontinental or a U.S. title shot belt, I'll be fine with that.
Yeah, just use him. I mean, if he's going to be mid-card, that's fine. Mid-card is okay, but then let's see him more than once every 3 months, you know. Okay, then we get this mess where we have the Revival against the Lucha House Party, and it turns into the 24/7 title debacle where R-Truth loses it to both Revival, and then I'm trying to even remember the order. R-Truth then defeats the Revival, and then Elias defeats R-Truth. This is just a mess, folks. If you're still enjoying this, I don't know what to tell you, because this is just it's kind of ruining Raw for me. I'm tired of it now. It was fun and funny for a little while, and now it's the joke that won't go away. It's that joke that just keeps getting repeated, and you say, oh, my God, I have seen this. I've heard this joke. Do we have to keep on with this? Maybe Elias getting it is a sign that it's going to get to be a little bit more serious. I don't know, but you're going to have to do something with it. My suggestion is you merge it somehow and make it a TV title and say, we're not doing this anymore. It's too distracting and it's getting in the way of other people's matches. And so from now, this point forward, it's a TV title. It's defended like any other title. That would be better, because this running around backstage and interfering in other people's matches. And by the way, why does R-Truth even show up to the arena if he thinks he's going to be set up on? I thought the belt can be defended anywhere, so let people go find them. It doesn't even make any sense. On the base of it, it doesn't make any sense. Let alone why anyone else would want it and open themselves up to that kind of subject themselves to that kind of abuse. So quite obviously, this thing has ran its course. Giving it to Elias, well, maybe this will change. I have some hope, but I don't know, Mike. I think they think that this is just the comedy relief and they're just going to keep it going.
Right. And that, I mean, it's getting so bad that I think, was it Corey Graves that said, well, R-Truth's starting to reach Flair territory in terms of
yes.
how many times he's held the title, you know? And that's not good. The term you're looking for is a running gag, where it's okay for the first 3-4 times you hear, but after the 10th or 11th or 12th time, it's not funny anymore. And this is where this is getting to.
I agree with you, and here's the deal. If it wasn't for the talent of R-Truth and Drake Maverick on the microphone and doing these skits, it would have got old a long, long time ago. So I'm not putting these guys down. Drake Maverick and R-Truth has done a fantastic job of keeping this running gag interesting, at least. But it's getting to the point now where it's done. It's stupid. It's interfering. It's a mess now. And it makes the entire Federation look so stupid and the entire WWE looks so fake that I just don't think it's worth continuing anymore. Viking Raiders beat up local competition again. How long are you going to keep this going? Fans don't care. Now you've wasted what a squash match is intended to do. A couple of squash matches, maybe two, three even. And then you got to move on to, not top competition, but tougher competition. I remember in the old days of the WWE, what they would do, I guess it wasn't even, it was WWF, I guess. There'd be a couple of squash matches for a tag team against people you're like, I don't know who that is. They're just getting their asses beat. Then you'd see, well, there's one guy that I don't know who that is. But his tag team partner is a mid-carder. And the mid-carder would do pretty good. You know, he'd hold his own, and then he'd tag in the other guy, and the other guy would get massacred. And then eventually it would be two mid-carders. And they'd give a little bit better of a fight, and then they'd move up to top competition. You're just replaying the same song here. Squash, squash, squash. It loses its effect after a while. And now it's losing its effect. The Viking Raiders are not being heralded as, I can't wait to see them fight whoever. The Viking Raiders are, it's just like, let's go for popcorn match. So you've actually destroyed the worth that, and I'm all for squash matches, but they got to be used right. And in this case, Todd, it's not being used right anymore.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. I remember back on the old Superstars of Wrestling or the old Wrestling Challenge episodes, you had a top tag team like a Demolition take on like a jabroni team, and the one guy is like sort of good, better than the partner who is like sort of up there. It reminds me of that when I was a kid.
See, that's the thing, Mike. There used to be like a little bit of a ladder. Now there doesn't seem to be that anymore.
Right, there doesn't seem to be that anymore, and that's the thing. I mean, I remember at one point when Al Snow was Leif Garrett, you know, and they put him in a tag team with Mr. X, Y, or Z, and they would be the enhancement talent. Yeah, they had a few wins here and there, but they would be the mid-card enhancement talent, you know, for the Road Warriors or whomever it was that they want,
right.
They want to, you know, yeah, we're, I mean, that could have been, you know, I mean, again, we could have had something with, I don't know, the B team or the, you know, Beauty and the Man Beast, but the Man Beast is now in Impact. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We could have had something there, but again, they just can't see the forest through the trees with some of these things, you know?
It's very unusual. I mean, the Ascension is still around, I guess. I didn't hear that they got released, so where are they? You still got Ryder and Hawkins, where are they? You still got the B team, where are they? You know, can we get a lesser team out here, but still, you know, a credible one, so they can start to move up the ladder? And wouldn't the announcers say, when are these guys going to take on better competition? It doesn't, I just don't like the way it's working. Anyway, let's get to the Natalya thing, because this is a big deal, isn't it? Natalya comes out and basically says, look, there's going to be another day for me and Becky Lynch. I did my best. Becky was a little bit better. And then she went on to talk about, well, I had a dream about my father where he said that he was proud of me, and it's been a year. And look, I'm all for using real life stuff and real emotion and everything in wrestling. I'm all for it. But, and I'm sure Jim the Anvil Neidhart would be for it too. So I don't think it's that. I don't think it's being disrespectful to him. But it does, in a way, this leaves a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. Number one, they've already done it. They've already done it with Ruby Riott and the Riott Squad. Now, out comes Sasha Banks. To the amazement of everybody, Sasha Banks is back. We shouldn't be amazed, because unless she wants to sit on her ass for the rest of her natural life, she's going to have to come back. And she appears as though she's a face. She's coming down to hug Natty, and then she attacks Natty. She rips off the pink hair, and she's got blue hair underneath. So that's, I guess, supposed to signify to us this is a new Sasha Banks. She beats the hell out of Natty. Eventually, Becky Lynch comes down. She beats the hell out of Becky Lynch, too. Corey Graves, again, is beyond annoying, because pick a side, Corey. Pick a side. When Alexa Bliss shows a little tiny bit of a face persona, you say, I'm disappointed. This is not the goddess. This is not who I want. This is ridiculous. But when Sasha Banks flips heel, then it's, I told you. I told you she was a worthless piece of crap. Well, wait a minute. Aren't those the people you're supposed to like? So shouldn't Corey Graves be saying, now this is the Sasha Banks I've been waiting to see, not that smiling, happy, hugging Bailey crapola. This is the real Sasha Banks who's going to get the job done. No, instead he suddenly turns face and says, I told you all along Sasha Banks is a piece of garbage. I don't know what the deal is. It didn't help. Because then the other two are in the precarious situation of sort of having to defend it and say, well, this is a different Sasha Banks. No, it's not. Yeah, but it is. She's much more vicious and violent. No, she isn't. Look, they're trying to sell her, you dumbass. If anything, if you still wanted to say I was right about Sasha Banks, then at least say, I told you all along, but I never thought, even in my wildest dreams, we'd get this type of Sasha Banks. They're trying to say she's much more violent, much more vicious, much more whatever, and you're just negating it, saying, no, nope. You're wrong. No, sorry. No, I'm right. You're wrong. No. Nope. Same as always. You're actually negating the point. I can't take him anymore. You're going to have to get rid of him. If he doesn't understand basic wrestling psychology on the microphone, then get rid of him. Let him manage. Let him run a show on the network or something, but get him away from the booth, because the proper thing to have done is to say, oh, I knew that was that Sasha Banks. You know, I told you Sasha Banks was a backstabber. But then when she went that far, Corey Graves should be saying, I never thought she'd go this far. This really is a different Sasha Banks. I mean, wow, I knew she had it in her to be a little bit of a, you know, a brat and a self-centered whatever. But this is just plain vicious. This is a different side of Sasha Banks. That's what they're trying to sell, Corey, and you're pouring cold water on it. Now, I know people are going to say, well, they're probably telling him to say that from the – I don't believe that. If they're telling him to say that, then they're idiots. It's not what you want. You want to get the most maximum impact you can from this. And the most maximum impact you can is for everyone to agree this is a side of Sasha Banks that even those of us who were suspicious never, ever saw coming. Now, Corey Graves has to say, no, I told everybody I knew it. Not me. Corey Graves spends the entire Raw trying to get himself over. I'm tired of it. Quite frankly, I'm tired of it. Mike is absolutely right. I'd rather go back to Booker T than this nonsense because it's annoying. But anyway, man, did they let Sasha Banks cut loose? Not only taking out Natty, but taking out Becky Lynch, and you would have to presume that that's going to be Becky Lynch's next opponent. And I've got to tell you that that's a really good opponent because now we as smart fans are saying, well, did they promise Sasha the belt to get her back? So we don't know for sure. I mean, on a normal day, we'd say, oh, Sasha Banks isn't beating Becky Lynch. But the way things have shaped up now, I wouldn't be so sure. Becky Lynch has held the belt a long time. I know we don't know what the deal with Ronda Rousey is. Maybe she's coming back. Maybe she's not. If they know she's not and there isn't going to be that match, then I don't know. Maybe it's time to give it to Sasha. The only thing I can say here, Mike, is the minute she came out, I said, oh, God, it's the wrong brand. I wish she had to come out on SmackDown because then we probably would be, you know, at the threshold of seeing Bayley Sasha.
Yeah, and I think they're going to get there eventually. But here's the thing. As she was coming out there as that pseudo face, here's the deal. You look at how the crowd reacted as she was beating on Natty, and it wasn't a heel reaction. Thank you, Sasha, cheering. There were no boos. The boos only came when Becky Lynch came out there to help Natty, and she started on Becky Lynch, you know. That's when the boos came, that, you know. So it was almost like they panicked and they said, Becky, get on out there and take the beating because we know we want this. We want her as a heel, and you're the one that can do it for us, and only you can do it for us, you know.
Yeah, listen, it's like you read my mind because in the beginning of the show I said the WWE fan base is hurting the WWE to a certain extent, and this is exactly what I meant. You're in Canada and basically the backyard of Natty Neidhart and the whole Hart clan and the whole Hart family, which is legendary in Canada. And I felt very sorry for Natty, who had to hear that crowd chanting, thank you, Sasha, for beating the hell out of Natty. And that's a crowd not playing along with the gimmick, and I don't like that. I know you can't tell a crowd who to cheer for, but when the WWE is trying very, very hard to give you a villain, trying very, very hard to give you a quality heel, and you refuse to accept it, just refuse. You're not doing that federation any favors. You're not even doing yourself any favors. The problem is no one believes anymore. The audience goes into a wrestling show saying, we're about to see a whole bunch of pre-planned stuff where everybody's friends and nobody really does anything to anybody, and we're just going to sit here and watch it and be entertained. Instead of putting yourself in that place that a really good wrestling fan should put themselves, where you say, I am willing to suspend my disbelief and to take everything I see at face value. That's what you should do. So if you're telling me in real life, if a girl came out and interrupted someone talking about their dead father and beat the hell out of her, you would cheer her, then there's something mentally wrong with you. You'd be outraged. You'd be saying, call the goddamn police. Drag that girl's ass to jail. But because it's wrestling, and you know it's fake, and it's predetermined, and they're friends, you're like, oh, this is entertaining. Hey, thank you, Sasha. That's being a bad fan. I'm sorry, but it is. Because you should support their attempt to give you a quality heel and accept it. And Mike's right. They send Becky Lynch out, and all of a sudden you boo because you like Becky Lynch. Well, wouldn't it have been much more satisfying if you were booing the fact that she was beating up Natty Neidhart, and then Becky Lynch comes out and you think she's going to make the save and she doesn't? You're cheating yourselves even. The fans are cheating themselves, and they don't even realize it. And they've done it throughout the night, too. They refuse to boo AJ Styles. So what do you think this is going to do to AJ Styles or to Natty Neidhart? They're going to take a look at it and say, well, I don't know, this club thing, the fans are cheering it, and I don't know if we want to, you know, we're not going to be able to put anybody over based on that. And the faces are going to say, I don't really want to fight them because I'm just going to get booed. Apparently they like AJ, so. And they already have that with The Fiend. So here's the problem. You got The Fiend, who's a heel, who's going to be cheered. AJ Styles in his club is getting highly cheered. Apparently Sasha's going to get cheered. This is a problem. If you're a wrestling fan, please go into the wrestling matches thinking everything you see for the next 3 hours, however long you're going to be in there, is legit. Suspend your disbelief. If someone does something wrong, boo them. Don't not cheer somebody who's supposed to be making the save or doing something heroic. It just cheats the crowd and yourself. And it sends the wrong signal to the Federation that the fans don't want that. And the fans do want that. So I don't know. I mean, that's a good point that Mike brings up. The crowd just does not seem to want to cooperate sometimes with what the WWE's, when the WWE makes a legitimate attempt, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. I remember back then when Randy Savage turned heel, when he turned on Hulk Hogan, people booed him out of the building when he slapped Hogan
in the face
over Elizabeth.
Yep. Nowadays he'd be cheered. You're absolutely correct. It's a shame. Should not be that way. Anyway, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross come out and, I don't know, perhaps someone got into Corey Graves' headset and said, you went way too far in SummerSlam being an idiot, so you better take half of it back. So apparently he took half of it back, and he's like, oh, I'm okay with Alexa Bliss now. Corey Graves is terrible. I'm sorry, he's terrible. Way more annoying than Booker T. I'll take somebody who laughs over his own jokes than somebody who just keeps ruining the show. People are saying, oh, he's very quick-witted. No, he's not. No, he's just exactly the opposite of quick-witted. Because if you're quick-witted, you can think on your feet and say, here's a position where I can get this person over by saying something. Here's a person where I can sell this feud that's happening by saying something. He does exactly the opposite. Snapping back at Byron Saxton or Renee Young doesn't make you quick-witted. The idea behind an announcer is to say, this show is not about me. How do I sell what's happening in that ring and make and enhance it? Enhance what's happening in that ring. And he doesn't do it. As a matter of fact, he does the exact opposite. So anyway, Nikki Cross, Alexa Bliss, they fight the Kabuki Warriors. Paige isn't around. We hear the news that she has to have neck surgery again. The Kabuki Warriors dead in the water. Dead in the water. Nobody's cheering them. Nobody cares. They're just throwing them to the wolves. The one thing they are doing, at least, though, is they're having Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defend these belts on a regular basis and making it count. And they are making them look as though they are truly and honestly good representatives for the women's tag division. Surprise, surprise, that it ends up being not Bayley and Sasha, not the Iconics, but Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. So, I mean, I guess good for them. They're defending the belts on a regular basis, Mike, and they're getting the clean win. So.
Again, they just made Sasha's point for her. I mean, think about it. You know? What was Sasha's point about the tag team championships?
Yeah, that's meaningless.
They just made...
If you don't...
That is meaningless. And what... I mean, because they wouldn't let them defend it, and when they did, they dropped, you know. Whereas, look at what they're doing with Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. They're making Sasha's point for her.
I agree. I've always said Sasha did have a point. I don't know if walking out and just saying I refuse to compete is the way to handle it, but her point is well taken. The women's tag team belts were introduced and they were given to Bayley and Sasha to lend credibility to, and they weren't allowed to lend any credibility to them. As a matter of fact, just the opposite, they were given to a tag team that had zero credibility. And then that tag team was handled in a way that gave the belts zero credibility by them never defending it against local talent, claiming they were sick, claiming they were injured, walking away and just losing by count out, no credibility. So the first two teams that have held that belt literally had no credibility. So Sasha Banks was right when she said, I don't even know why you've introduced them because they're just a joke. Well, now it appears that they're going to take it seriously. And it took how long? How long did it take? That's crazy. Then we're lied to by the WWE. Says, when we come back from the commercial break, we're going to have much more on who maybe attacked Roman Reigns. And all they did was replay the same things. They didn't have one single thing. Not one about it. Had Stone Cold Steve Austin on plugging his show and trying to plug Seth Rollins. When you have to have Stone Cold Steve Austin say Seth Rollins is the greatest guy, you know that they are trying so hard to get Seth Rollins over because they don't know where they're going to go from here if he doesn't. They are trying so hard. The problem with Seth Rollins, and I don't care what anybody says, and I don't know Seth Rollins personally, might be the nicest guy in the world. The problem with Seth Rollins is he comes across not only on television, but even in his social media as a little bit of a dick. And we reached that point where fans are starting to like peek behind the curtain, you know, the Wizard of Oz, and say, I don't know if I like him. He's entertaining, he's a good wrestler, but he rubs me the wrong way. Well, that's a very bad thing. That's a very bad thing. And it's witnessed because when AJ Styles comes out, he receives a hero's welcome. You'd have thought that AJ was still a face. I know, everybody likes the club, I get that. But I promise you, they're telling the club, go out there and really try to get Seth Rollins over. And even when he's being beaten down, there's no outcry. There's no horrible whatever. Fans are just like, whatever, that's AJ Styles and I like him. You can't be that stubborn, fans. I don't often side with the WWE against the fans because ultimately the fans are the lifeblood of any wrestling federation. But you cannot positively refuse to play the game. Or I don't know why you're a wrestling fan. You got to play the game a little bit. You don't know it. 99.99999% of people who are in that building don't know AJ Styles and probably are never going to meet him. And if you did, he's not going to say, didn't you boo me at a Raw? I mean, please. That's what they want you to do. Believe me, AJ Styles would have been on cloud nine if you booed him out of the building. Instead, he's walking back going, I don't know, man. This might be harder than we thought. I don't seem to be able to do this. Why can't I get the crowd to boo me? Maybe I'm not good enough to get the crowd to boo me. Why don't you just play the game? What is it about this that makes you think, no, I refuse. I absolutely refuse to play the game. I don't get it. I told you, I know many, many, many wrestlers, many independent wrestlers. And some of them I'm very good friends with. When they're the heels and I'm sitting there watching them, I boo them. And they're happy I boo them. Because I'm giving them the heat that they need to successfully do what they need to do. Now I could say, well, I don't know, man. I had lunch with this guy. I'm not booing him. Hey, I know he's a great guy. Yay, everybody. Come on, everybody. He's a great guy. That's not my... A fan shouldn't do that. Suspend your disbelief. That's not the guy I had lunch with. This is a guy who's doing something dastardly that I should be booing. Can we just do that? Your boos are cheers. Don't you understand that? So I do side with the WWE on this. I don't know what more they can do, folks. I don't know what more they can do. They've given you Sasha Banks, who did one of the worst things you could ever think of. Interrupting a girl and beating her up on the one-year anniversary of her father's death after mocking her. They allowed her to beat up Becky Lynch, who you claim to love. And you cheered her and said, thank you, Sasha. AJ Styles, supposedly you love Ricochet. Look at all the horrible things they've done to Ricochet. Supposedly you love Seth Rollins. Look at the horrible stuff they did to Seth Rollins, and you're still cheering him. What do you want the WWE to do then? What is it you want the WWE to do? The only time you want to boo somebody is if you genuinely say, I don't want to see them. The go away heat. And that's not the kind of heat anybody wants. That's like Baron Corbin, where people say, I'm booing them because I don't even want to see him. Well, the WWE wants to know who you will boo that you do want to see. Who's the bad guys that you're going to boo and root to lose, but you want to see them? It's hard. Everybody's trying. All these heels are trying. Samoa Joe, he hears the cheers and he says, look, I don't forgive any of you people. Because apparently he's being told, we don't want the fans to cheer you right now. They're trying the best they can, and you're just not cooperating at all. And at some point, the wrestlers just shrug their shoulders and say, what is it that you want me to do? I could go out there and apparently slap an old woman, and you're going to cheer me. So there's nothing more I can do. So you're cheating yourselves. Speaking of cheating yourselves, this match was not good. It was a ploy. I don't like when the WWE uses a ploy. We're going to see a really good match. AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins. Yeah, and 5 minutes in, the club jumps in and beats him down. And then we have Ricochet come out because he's such good close friends with Seth Rollins. You played that up, right? Oh, that's right. You didn't. Oh, well. He doesn't like AJ, so I guess that's good enough. And then Braun Strowman comes down because, of course, he's such a sympathetic character. He would never want to see Seth Rollins hurt or Ricochet, I guess. So he's going to come down to even the odds. And he beats everybody's ass. And if there's anything that's a takeaway from this, it's though Braun Strowman hands Seth Rollins the belt, it's in a fashion that makes me think that Braun Strowman is going to challenge Seth Rollins for the belt. And I can hear the tagline now of, you may be the Beast Slayer, but are you the Monster Slayer? You know, I think that's probably what's coming next. Because they don't have anybody else for Seth Rollins. Who else? Paul Heyman said, Brock Lesnar's not getting a rematch. AJ Styles isn't going to fight him. He's already a champion. So who's next? We'll talk about the King of the Ring thing in a minute. But what do you think of this match overall, Mike?
Yeah, it was just another way to try to get heat. And look, I'll put it to you this way. You know, with getting heat and stuff like that and an audience not, you know, cooperating, here's the deal. When the WWE decides to give you a filet mignon, you don't send it back and ask for hamburger. You know?
Right.
That's basically what the audience did. We don't want this, so we want hamburger, you know? That's it.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not in the position to lecture the fans. I've always said we started this show to be the voice of the fans. And the WWE often craps on their fans and insults their fans and insults their intelligence and says they're irrelevant and does everything they can to piss off their fans. But you have to be fair. And they're trying now. They are trying to give you some heels. And if you just absolutely refuse to accept those heels, then there's nothing more they can do. What is it that you want them to do then to please you? You say, we don't have any good heels. Okay, well, then, but when they give you one, you won't boo them. So I don't know what more. I really don't. I guess you're going to have to make all the good guys heels and all the heels good guys because that's the way it goes, huh? If you're playing by the rules, then you're the heel and nobody likes you. I guess that's the way it goes. I don't understand this. When you buy your ticket and you go in to enjoy yourself, or you're sitting at home and you tune on that TV, can't you suspend your disbelief? I'm not an idiot. I know AJ Styles is one of, if not the best wrestler in the world. Seems like a really nice guy. I've heard him in a million interviews. Seems like a respectful, nice family man. I get it. But he's playing the part of a horrible person. If you go to see an actor in a movie and they're playing a rapist, or they're playing a terrorist, or they're playing a, you know, some kind of a horrible person, do you say, oh, that's that nice guy I saw on the talk shows, and he's such a nice guy, I hope he doesn't get killed in this movie? Is that what you do? I don't think so. I really don't. You suspend your disbelief and you say, he's a great actor, but I hate this character. Can't wait for this character to get killed off, or I can't wait for the good guy to kill off this character, because that's why he is a good actor. Well, don't you see that when you're cheering AJ Styles or you're cheering Sasha Banks, all you're saying is you're not a good actor. We don't buy it. We don't like it. We're not into it. Sorry. You didn't do a good enough job. Sorry. You're not selling what we're not buying what you're selling. So in a way, you're insulting them. I know fans say, well, I want them to know I think that they're really good. Well, then play the game. Play the game, because you're not helping them. If I was told to be a heel and I went out there and did a heelish couple of things and you kept cheering me, I wouldn't go back there saying, man, those fans like me, although I love the fans. They cheer me even though I'm a bad guy. I'd go back saying, what did I do wrong? Maybe I'm not good enough to get this character over. This isn't working. It's going to fail. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. You see what I mean? As fans, just go play the game. That's part of being a wrestling fan. Nobody goes to a movie and says, oh, baloney, that guy, Tom Cruise couldn't kick the hell out of anybody. I'm not watching any more of these Jack Reacher movies. Ha ha, that's so stupid. You don't do that. Nobody goes to see Hobbs and Shaw and say, oh, yes, I'm so sure they could drive a car like that. I'm so sure they could do this. Nobody does that. You suspend your disbelief and you just get into the character. Why can't you do that in wrestling? Because you keep fighting the fact that it's a movie, that it's a show. You keep wanting to say it's a sporting event. It's not. That doesn't mean it's not performed by athletes. It just means that it's not a sporting event. It's a show. It takes athletes to do the trapeze in a circus, but it's not a sport. So please, it's a show. AJ Styles is a heel. He's a bad guy. Sasha Banks is a heel. Give them the respect they deserve and play along and help them. So the WWE says, oh, they want more of this. Good. Then we'll promote Sasha a little bit more. Hey, Sasha seems to be getting over as a heel. The crowd is really, really hot for her. They're booing the hell out of her. So, hey, we better promote her a little bit more. Don't you see that's helping the person that you claim to like? If AJ Styles gets a tepid reaction, some people are cheering him, some people are booing him, they're not going to go that far with AJ Styles. They're going to be like, whatever, some people like him, some people don't. It didn't work out the way we thought. If that building erupted with choruses of boos, you couldn't pry the belt off AJ Styles. The club would get more TV time. See what I'm saying? Your reactions are extraordinarily important. And if it's blasé reaction, 50-50, everything's 50-50, and then you start complaining about 50-50 booking, Mike, you have no reason to complain, because that's the signal you're sending.
That's right. And look, the UK fans, yeah, they're hot for a lot of time, but you look at them, the UK fans, they get it, you know, they get it. You look at how they're treating Imperium in UK and WWE UK. They're treating you Imperium like the heels they are. You know?
Right.
That's how they're treating them. They get it. certain people, I don't know if it was this particular crowd last night in Canada that didn't want to do it. I mean, they're going to be in like Toronto or Vancouver or something and another place in Canada at tonight or next week or something like that. I'm going to be interested to see how the next crowd treats them, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's a vicious circle because you say, well, we're not entertained. So we're just going to cheer for the people we like because we're not really all that entertained. And we like Sasha Banks or we like AJ Styles, so we're going to cheer for them. Then the WWE gets the wrong message and says, okay, well, then we're going to do this. And then you say, I'm not entertained by that, so now I'm going to cheer for somebody else. It's a vicious circle. Got to break the chain. One of the two sides has to break the chain, and I would suggest it's the fans. The fans now need to buy what they're selling a little bit. If they give you a heel, and it's clearly a heel, there's no shades of gray, then you have to play along and say, well, this is a heel, and I'm meant to boo this person, and so let's boo him. And see where the story goes if we really do boo the hell out of them, as opposed to 50-50 reaction. Now, there's always going to be, like, the Fiend, they knew. They're not so concerned that you're cheering the Fiend. They already knew. They had to know. And that's not a prerequisite that you boo or cheer a character like that. But someone like Sasha Banks, it is. Someone like AJ Styles in the club, it is. Because then that's going to, put it this way, if you cheer the hell out of the club and boo whoever he's against, then the message is, we like the club, we want the club to be faces. If you cheer Sasha Banks and boo everyone she's against, then the message is, we like Sasha Banks, we want Sasha to be a face. But if you selectively say, well, we're cheering Sasha Banks for beating up this girl, but then we'll boo her for beating up that girl, then it's just going to be 50-50. We'll cheer the club if they fight them, but we'll boo them if they fight them, well, then it's 50-50. And then you turn around and complain, well, it's 50-50 booking. Well, what do you want them to do? You're giving them 50-50 reaction, they're giving you 50-50 booking. Let's talk a little bit about the King of the Ring tournament, because while I was happy that this was returning, I was surprised that it wasn't going to return as a pay-per-view, but instead, apparently, it's going to return and basically be, I guess, over the next couple of weeks, or maybe just the 1 week, I'm not sure. They said there's 16 participants, so that means 8 matches, 4 on each show. So my presumption is 4 matches can take place in 1 week, but then you have to have the second round. So I imagine this is going to last maybe till the next pay-per-view, Clash of Champions maybe. Or maybe they're just going to hold the turn. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. They didn't make it clear. But they did say that Baron Corbin is in it. Sami Zayn, who I just don't know why Sami Zayn's thrown in here, because he's just he's a warm body. Nobody else more deserving than that, huh? Okay. I know we didn't get to, I'm being told, you didn't get to Andrade and Rey Mysterio. I'll get to that in a minute. You've got Drew McIntyre. You've got Cedric Alexander. I don't know. I don't exactly know all the people. But basically speaking, we're going to get 8 matches that turn into 4, that turn into 2, that turn into 1. And I presume it's going to be 1 from SmackDown against 1 from Raw. And I guess that would take place at Clash. That's the only thing I could think of. So I'm happy to see that back. As far as the Rey Mysterio-Andrade thing, not sure where they're going with this. My assumption is they might be going with Rey Mysterio introducing his son. I know that he wanted very much to be a professional wrestler. He's training hard, and Rey really, really, really wants him in the business and in the WWE. And he just kept saying, well, I don't know how I'm going to support my family. I'm not really into this angle, and I'll tell you why I'm not into it. It's one thing for Rey Mysterio to come back and say, I'm not ready for my career to come to an end. I still think I'm as good as I was, but something's wrong. Something's missing. But for him to say, how will I ever support my family? Gee, I don't know. You're charging $50 for an autograph at and you got a line out the building at Comic-Con. So I would imagine you would support your family that way. Or I don't think the WWE has said we're not paying you the rest of your $1 million contract because you lost. So I guess you'll support your family that way. It doesn't work. Whoever wrote this is a moron. No one's going to feel sorry for Rey Mysterio saying, how will I ever support my family? You're 25 years in the business of being a top guy. You better have a bank account. This would only work if you were a new guy. This would only work if you were like a Ricochet. If you pulled this angle with Ricochet, people would say, well, okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, he hasn't been in the business, high-paying area of the business for very long, and if he can't continue, and he's got to find something else to do for a living, that's rough. No one's buying this with Rey Mysterio. How will I ever put food on the table? Jesus, I don't know. Maybe write a check on one of the 37 bank accounts you have that have $1 million in it. That would be my suggestion. Here's another suggestion for the WWE. Because I've picked on the fans a little bit, let me pick on the WWE. If you're going to say you have no idea who drove the car that hit Roman Reigns, then don't put a camera in the car. Because last night we saw an angle that was clearly a dashboard camera in the car that hit Roman Reigns, which means someone put that in there and gave the footage so you know who did it. Could you at least pay attention to detail and say, we better not do that because that's pretty damn obvious then. If there's a camera in the car and we now have the footage of the camera that was in the car, yeah, please. So there's a little bit of that inconsistent and illogical being there, Mike, that I don't like.
There is, but what I did like out of the Ray thing is that at least they're trying to make Andrade and, by extension, Zelina Vega strong again. Because that first fall was all you know, Zelina Vega.
Zelina Vega, yeah.
You know? Yeah, so at least they're trying to make her strong. And what have we said for the longest time? How is she being his business manager going if she's weak, you know, if he keeps losing?
And I've always agreed with that, Mike, but I have a problem with that, and I'll tell you what it is. If they had have went to Andretti and Zelina Vega backstage saying, my client just took two falls in a row from a legend in this business, a man who I can't recall ever losing two falls in a row. So if you don't believe in Andrade now, what is it going to take? I'd say they're there to promote Andrade. You're right. But they didn't do that. Andrade said nothing. Zelina Vega said nothing. It was all about Rey. So now I'm thinking to myself, okay, you gave Andrade the win, but it seems like you gave him the win to promote Rey and something that's coming up with Rey's character. And for that reason, it kind of negates it to me, Mike.
It somewhat does, but then again, I liked it because at least they gave the appearance of trying to keep them strong, keep her strong, and keep him strong. Because you know, we know Rey, you know, we know what Rey is right now. He's basically glorified. Yeah, he's getting paid $1 million, but he's almost basically glorified, you know, enhancement talent. At this late stage of his career. That's what he is.
But
and,
then why give him the big interview? Why give him that big, oh, there's a storyline, and it's not involving Andrade. It's involving Rey. See, that's where I have a problem with the WWE. If you really wanted to put Andrade over, Rey loses two falls in a row, you don't talk to Rey. You talk to Zelina Vega and Andrade. And they're bragging it up, saying, who's next? You know, we just took on a legend two falls in a row. Then I'd say it's all about Andrade. But when you just say, well, this is being done to further an angle we have coming up on Rey, yes, Andrade gets the incidental rub from it. But it still doesn't fill me with confidence, Todd, that it's Andrade they're looking to promote.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, lately for the last several weeks, for the last month or so, like every week they've been doing two or three, four matches every single week. Like,
yeah,
come on.
Well, that's because the commercial breaks.
I'm getting bored with that. every week.
Yeah, and the first ball is always like really quick or whatever. Yeah, it's pretty dumb. No Firefly Funhouse. No Fiend, which makes me wonder what we'll see tonight. Perhaps he's going to be a SmackDown star. We'll see. I enjoyed parts of Raw. I really did. I enjoyed Drew McIntyre and Cedric Alexander very much. And to his credit, Drew McIntyre is one of those guys who, while I think most fans do respect him, he doesn't get a lot of cheers. He's a heel that gets decent heat. Very rare in the WWE these days. So I enjoyed that. I thought that the return of Sasha Banks was good. Fans didn't cooperate with it, but it was effective. Did not like the main event. I thought that was just a ripoff. That was just bait and switch. Oh, just wait till the end, folks. You're going to see a barn burner of a match. Oh, no, only kidding. So I didn't care for that. And the rest of it was kind of just middle of the road. So I'll give it a generous C plus. I think it was an okay show. There were parts of it that was very good. There are parts of it that I'm really getting tired of. The 24/7 belt, I'm tired of it. Corey Graves is an announcer, I'm tired of him. The Street Profits backstage being hosts of Raw, it's stupid. I'm tired of it. Totally tired of it. The Viking Raiders always taking on enhancement talent, I'm tired of it now. So those are the things I didn't like. So the things I liked and the things I didn't like were about 50-50. For that reason, I'm going to give it a C plus, Mike. What's your rating?
I'm going to give it a C plus as well. And look, we've said that the New Day can sell just about anything. And what do you see? They're doing a Skittles commercial. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's their new sponsors, by the way. Skittles is a brand new sponsor. And what does Skittles want? Can you get us the New Day to shoot the commercial? And why would that be? Because they know that that's the target audience that they want to reach. So that means that they know that the New Day is popular among the younger people and the people who'd be more likely to buy Skittles. It's a great move. They did it very well. And it goes to show you just exactly how this game works, Mike.
Yeah. And if I'm the WWE and I'm seeing that they can do this with these people, and I'm going, okay, to other prospective sponsors and say, okay, who would you like that's big right now that can sell what you want? Who would you like? Which superstar would you like to come help you sell your product? You know?
Yeah, they had Rusev for a while and Lana doing, I think it was like Dollar General commercials. And then I think The Miz did one and Maurice did one on, I don't know what it was. Was it Disney or I don't know what the hell it was. Now we got the New Day doing Skittles. We had some of them doing the Kentucky Fried Chicken. Bottom line of the situation is, this is kind of what it's all about, unfortunately. It probably shouldn't be this way, but it is that if the sponsors dictate sort of how things go. And that's fine to a certain extent. The New Day's perfect for that. You know, these likable sort of PG, semi-harmless type gimmicks, that's great. I don't want to see The Fiend tomorrow doing Snap It to a Slim Jim. You know, I don't want to see AJ Styles in the club doing, you know, Milky Way. Let's not go there. But aside from that, yeah, listen, it's fair game. Todd, what do you think? What was your rating this week?
I gotta go with you guys. C+.
Okay, so it wasn't horrible. We get a little tease this week that Roman Reigns is going to fight Buddy Murphy. Which is probably not good news for Buddy Murphy, because Buddy Murphy's not beating Roman Reigns. Perhaps he's not losing to him either, because perhaps the actual attacker will come out and reveal himself. That's the only thing we can hope for, because if Buddy Murphy takes his loss already, he didn't get a win at SummerSlam. He just got attacked by Rowan. And then he loses to Roman Reigns. You got to figure that Buddy Murphy's not going very far on SmackDown. The one thing I do want people to watch, though, is it was brought to my attention by someone. I wasn't paying that much attention. And I went back and watched it again, and they're absolutely right. When Daniel Bryan was backstage watching Eric Rowan on the screen destroying Buddy Murphy, he did not look happy. He looked like he was questioning, why would Rowan do that? And there are some people who are saying this is going to be Daniel Bryan flipping back. Daniel Bryan is going to find out that Rowan or someone else actually did do this. And it's too far, kind of like the Samoa Joe thing. And he's going to get the hell beat out of him. Some people are even suggesting that we may see Luke Harper used and the Bludgeon Brothers back. That Luke Harper and Eric Rowan came up with some kind of a whatever, and that Daniel Bryan's going to be the first guy they eliminate. You know, so I don't know where this is going. But I did watch Daniel Bryan on the screen, and he wasn't laughing or smiling or kind of happy that Eric Rowan was out there destroying Buddy Murphy. He looked confused. And I imagine they wouldn't show you that, Mike, unless there's something to it.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine that they wouldn't, you know. And look, if there wasn't anything to it, and look, you know, we said that this could have, this team was like, you know, what they had with Kane and the with Kane and Daniel Bryan at Team Hell No. But I think probably this thing with him and Rowan has probably run its course, and they're trying to figure out what else they're going to do with Daniel Bryan and Rowan at this point. And look, we still, like you said, we still have him and Luke Harper in the wings there.
Yes.
To do something with him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, by all rumors, they're saying that Kane is going to be doing some WWE gigs really, really soon. It makes you wonder. Makes you wonder if he's going to come back and do some tag teaming with Daniel Bryan, maybe against Eric Rowan and a tag team partner that could very well be Luke Harper. I don't know. Maybe we're reading too much into this, but I did watch it twice, and the fan who wrote me is right. The expression on Daniel Bryan's face was not, oh, good, he's taking care of business. It was, what's going on? So I wouldn't imagine that they would focus on that if they didn't want you to assume something's up. So it should be interesting to watch SmackDown tonight and see where they go with it. We will be back here, obviously, on Friday with the SmackDown Report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.